is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The person responsible for analyzing the Iraqi weapons threat for Colin Powell says the Secretary of State misinformed Americans during his speech at the UN last February. Greg Thielman told the CBS program 60 Minutes 2 that at the time of Powell's speech, Iraq didn't pose an imminent threat to anyone, not even its own neighbors. Thielman said the decision to go to war was made first, and then the intelligence was interpreted to fit that conclusion, saying senior administration officials used faith-based intelligence. Another UN inspector, Steve Allenson, told of a dozen UN inspectors watching Powell's speech and laughing at various times because the information he was presenting had no meaning. Nagging criticism on the economy and Iraq policy are taking their toll on President Bush's political standing, according to a new ABC News Washington Post poll. The poll says that nearly 6 in 10 Americans call U.S. casualties in Iraq unacceptable, more than double its level at last April's fall of Baghdad, and most continue to disapprove of his handling of the economy. More than 8 in 10 continue to see the alleged White House leak of a CIA operative's identity as a serious matter, and the number who think the administration is fully cooperating in the investigation is down to 39%. The Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights said in a letter Tuesday that California Governor-elect Arnold Schwarzenegger must explain the substance of his private May 2001 meeting with Enron chief Ken Lay. If Schwarzenegger does not recount the meeting by the time of his inauguration, the group would ask state lawmakers to open an investigation to uncover the substance of that meeting, including any information that might further the state's efforts to return billions of dollars that taxpayers and consumers overpaid for electricity during the energy crisis. A meeting with the biggest corporate crook in recent memory while he and his firm were in the midst of ripping off the state should not be taken lightly, FTCR wrote. In that letter, FTCR asked Schwarzenegger to rewrite his energy policy and remove his push for further energy deregulation that reflect an Enron perspective. At least half of House Democrats will vote against President Bush's $87 billion spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan this week, and others plan to support it under protest. The bill is expected to pass both houses with Republican support, but its price tag has dampened enthusiasm on both sides of the aisle.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A Nevada man was feeling so wealthy after he allegedly stole $90,000 from an elderly woman that he decided to pay off a year's worth of his rent. He tried to pay it off in $50,000 cash to his landlord, a Reno police officer. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
You've probably never heard of Mr. Wally Odell or of his corporation, Diebold, Inc. But Odell and his firm are reaching out and touching you and millions of your fellow Americans in a most fundamental way. Diebold has become one of America's largest sellers of touchscreen computer voting equipment. Most states have converted from real ballot boxes to these virtual systems provided by outfits like Diebold. Instead of physically marking your ballots, now you touch the screen to make your choices and, supposedly, the touchscreen technology magically transfers your vote into cyberspace. But what about real space? Growing numbers of Americans are alarmed by evidence that these computerized systems can be easily manipulated to steal our votes. Various organizations of computer professionals have called for stringent new reforms to protect our precious right of voting from the thieves who would loot our votes from these untraceable cyber boxes. Public concern has been heightened by revelations that the biggest providers of digital voting technology are strong partisans and major backers of the Republican Party. At the top of this list is Odell. He's had security concerns raised about his voting computers, even as he has been soliciting big donations for the election of George W. In August, Wally jetted down to Bush's ranchette in Crawford, Texas, for a presidential powwow with GOP fundraisers who have committed to raising big bucks for Bush's campaign. The very next week, Odell sent out letters asking for $10,000 donations for the Republican Party. And only one day later, the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio blessed Wally's company with official authorization to provide electronic voting machines in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn how you can help to stop electronic voting fraud, go to www.verifiedvoting.org.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on what we finally refer to as Resistance Radio. Why do we still call it that, Kathy? What are we resisting? Huh? The right-wing red tide that's sweeping the country? Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. The email address during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. A lot of folks send me jokes, you know, that are circulating around the net. And I know, they send them to you, too. Sometimes it's irritating, but other times it's, you know, if you open them up and read them, sometimes you get a chuckle. Well, I got one today from Jim that I just think is kind of funny, that's all. So I'm going to share it with you. Yeah, I hear this chorus of screams out there. Please don't. Here it is. A lobbyist on his way home from work in Washington, D.C., came to a dead halt in traffic and thought to himself, wow, this is worse than usual. He noticed a police officer walking between the lines of stopped cars, so he rolled down his window and asked, officer, what's a holdup? The police officer replied, well, the president, President Bush, is depressed. So he stopped his motorcade, and he's threatening to douse himself in gasoline and set himself on fire. What? The lobbyist asked. Yeah, the cop says. He says no one believes his stories about why we went to war in Iraq, or the connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda, or that his tax cuts will help anyone except his wealthy friends. The press called him on the lie about Iraq trying to buy uranium from Niger, and now Campbell Brown is threatening to sue him for sexual innuendo he made at a recent press conference. So we're taking up a collection for him. The lobbyist then says, well, how much have you got so far? The officer replies, about 14 gallons, but a lot of folks are still siphoning. I think that's funny. Has that been in your email inbox? Huh? It's really making the rounds, isn't it? And right on the heels of that, somebody I'm not the only one that steals from BartCop.com, the second best website on the Internet. A lot of people steal from BartCop because you find such great stuff there. Did you see this one, The President's Prayer? Whew. As you probably know, a few days ago, posted at Yahoo was a photograph taken of Bush with the presidential seal behind him. Now, the way the photograph turned out, it looks like Bush's head is surrounded by a gold halo. And I think Anna was the first one to send it to me, and her subject line was something to the effect, "Oh, Jesus, here they go again." But anyway, it's now, the photograph is now all over the place. It was at BartCop, and underneath it, The President's Prayer. Oh, Lord, I have rained fire and steel on a people who did me no harm. I have torn the limbs from children. I have killed babies in their mother's arms. And I pumped my arm in the air and said, "Feels good." Oh, Lord, I've taken the people's treasury and poured it into the coffers of my friends. I have laid debt on their children for generations to come. I have squandered all the wealth of people laid up for the sick and the poor and the aged. And I have lied to the people, telling them this was good. Oh, Lord, I am filling the air with evil smoke that will cause the people to sicken and die. I shall permit my friends to make the rivers laden with poisons from their works, and the people shall drink of these waters and sicken and die. Oh, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, for I know they never will. Ooh. I don't think George Bush prays. I really don't. I think he has a staff member pray for him. Hey, did you get that message up to God? Okay. Yesterday we reported to you about U.S. Representative George Nethercutt, who represents a district in Washington, D.C. Now, Nethercutt is the guy who defeated Tip O'Neill. He knocked off Tip O'Neill. When was that? Back in 94? Was it that long ago? I think so. But Nethercutt had said that Iraq's reconstruction is, quote, a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day, end quote. Now, the state Democratic chairman out there, Paul Barrett, said Nethercutt has turned into, quote, an administration shill who insults the service of the men and women brave enough to serve their country, end quote. The only problem I have with the chairman's statement is these men and women are not serving their country. And the Democrats are inching just slowly up to the bar to start telling things the way they really are. But this falls very short. Chairman Barrett, the men and women who, I'm not saying they're not brave, but they're not there serving their country. They are there serving the interests of George Bush's oil thugs. Period. Period. But anyway, Nethercutt said his marks have been mischaracterized. I love it when they say that.
Oh, you took it out of context. Oh, it's mischaracterized.
The congressman, he's from Spokane, Washington, told a University of Washington forum. He's one of these Republican thugs who has been told to get out there and convince the American public that Bush is a good man and he's doing a good job. And all that death and destruction that we hear about every single day, like today it was the Turkish embassy, had a bomb go off in front of it. How many more Americans were killed in the past 24 hours? No, we're supposed to ignore that. We're supposed to listen to these liars, these shills for the Bush crime family, and Nethercutt is one of them. So he was at a University of Washington forum on Monday, and he said, quote, "The story of what we've done in Iraq in the post-war period is remarkable, much better than the news media are portraying. It's a better and more important story than losing a couple soldiers every day." Now, he said that to his audience, and then, you know, immediately started to backpedal. But the truth of what this thug thinks about U.S. military men and women was out. Now, after the remarks were published yesterday, the state Democratic Party declared Nethercutt was, quote, insulting the service of hundreds of U.S. servicemen and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for their country, end quote. And again, the only argument I have with the state of Washington's Democratic Party, these young men and women are not making the ultimate sacrifice. That means they are dying for their country. That is not what they're doing. They are dying to support the lies of George Bush, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Paul Wolfowitz, and the rest of these monsters. They are not dying for their country. Now, what Nethercutt is trying to do is unseat a two-term Democratic senator from Washington, Patty Murray. The state party in Washington issued a statement, quote, "Yesterday it was George Nethercutt's turn to sell the administration's failing Iraq policy. But as he tried to marginalize the loss of hundreds of U.S. soldiers, Nethercutt insulted the memory of those who have died," end quote. And then Nethercutt has replied, I guess today, he said, "It's unfortunate that some have chosen to mischaracterize my comments yesterday at the University of Washington." Because you know why? Because I just got back from Baghdad and Mosul, where I learned firsthand how our troops are conducting themselves in defense of the emerging democracy in Iraq. Oh, stop it! For God's sake, can none of these people be honest? It is not an emerging democracy. It's nowhere near a democracy. It is a council appointed by the U.S. military and the Defense Department to give the illusion. And the people of Iraq are not fooled. You want a freely elected government in Iraq? Then prepare for the Islamic Republic of Iraq. And the Bush crime family simply, and the Israeli government, working together, simply will not let that happen. Nethercutt went on to say, "The soldier's successes on the battlefield and in winning the hearts and minds of the average Iraqi are woefully unreported by the media." Hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. Where have I heard that before? Hearts and minds. Hearts and minds. Robert McNamara. 1968, 9, 67, hearts and minds. Nethercutt's spokeswoman April Gentry said the appearance at the University of Washington was scheduled well before the White House began speaking out about Reconstruction, and that the congressman's comments were not, I tell you, not part of a coordinated effort. Yeah, right. We are 18 minutes in the program. Have I said yet how much I hate these people? I haven't. Well, let me just say it. God, I hate these people. Especially these little shills and flacks, people like Nethercutt. Gets his orders from Karl Rove. Get out there and sell the president's murderous, illegal policy in Iraq. You can do it because you're a Republican. Go do it. Now, as you know, the Chinese sent one of their people into orbit around the Earth. And I think the guy's back already, right? They were going to, it was a dry landing, not an ocean landing like we do. It was going to be a dry landing in, this is a space capsule, not space shuttle type thing. Somewhere in the Gobi Desert. It was supposed to come down, I think, earlier today. Now, the fact that this is the Chinese government doing this, there's, you know, if this capsule turned into powder on its way back to Earth, of course, nobody ever know about it. But, you know, so far it looks like they did it. So China becomes the third country to lift people into space. Guess what? Guess who the founder of China's rocketry program is? He's a very old man now. And guess where he used to work? I'll tell you when we come back.
In the dog's hour, in you and I, count the hours until the light. Empire moon, shine on bright. Don't be frightened, it's American life. We got guns and bombs and man-made disease. Blood and modern illusion and TV. Remember when we were bulletproof under the Empire moon? In the darkest hour, in a human night.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rush, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang, and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So anyway, the founder of China's rocketry program yesterday launched that astronaut into space. He began his career building ballistic missiles for the United States government during World War II, right? He's 92 years old now. He was a U.S. Army officer, Hsien Suxin. He's a co-founder of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and a professor at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. A co-founder of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and a professor at MIT. His colleagues at the time, all those years ago, called him one of the brightest minds in what was then the new field of aeronautics. But back in 1955, which was a year after the Catholic Church prevailed upon the U.S. Congress to insert the words "under God" in the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance, 1 year after that, Mr. Sien, 1955, was driven out of the country at the height of the anti-commie fervor in this country. Now, he was driven out, and One Nation Under God, those two words, were added for the same reasons. Because of the godless communists in Russia and China. Now, Mr. Sien, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, came to the United States after winning a scholarship to graduate school here in 1936. He earned his doctorate, became a professor at Caltech, later moved to MIT, helped found Jet Propulsion Laboratory. During World War II, this Chinese physicist helped to design ballistic missiles for the U.S. military. In 1945, he was an Army colonel with a security clearance. He was sent to Europe on a mission to examine captured rocket technology from Nazi Germany. He met and talked with Wernher von Braun, the former mass murderer who worked for the Nazis, who was going to come very shortly and be a mass murderer for the United States. While he was in Germany, Sien studied the German V-2 rocket. After the war, he married the daughter of a military advisor to Chinese leader General Chiang Kai-shek. In 1949, Sien applied to become a U.S. citizen. And then, as the anti-communist hysteria in this country once again, it was prevalent in the 20s and 30s, became prevalent again in the 50s, as it increased, the FBI confronted Mr. Sien in 1950 with a U.S. Communist Party document from 1938 that listed him as a member of the party. Mr. Sien denied being a communist, but he was arrested, lost his security clearance. Hearings began to deport him. He was never charged with a crime. And at this point, he was an American citizen. After 5 years of virtual house arrest, does this sound familiar? And secret negotiations between Washington and Beijing, Mr. Sien left for his homeland in 1955. A few months after that, Mr. Sien presented then-Premier Zhou Enlai with a proposal to set up an aerospace industry for national defense. And then, what the hell, since he'd been kicked out of the country that he had chosen to be his home, the United States, for being a communist, he finally did join the party in 1958. He led development of China's first nuclear-armed ballistic missiles and worked on its first satellite, which was launched back in 1970. Now, today, Dr. Sien is considered an enigma. He's very, very rarely seen in public, but he gets all sorts of official honors from Beijing. And in China's inimitable way, they named him the King of Rockets. He was publicly honored on his 90th birthday in 2001. The director of the China National Space Administration said, "He's the father of our space industry. It's difficult to say where we would be without him." And back in the early 50s, we told this guy to get the hell out of Dodge.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
put the power in America's economy and the glitz in our lifestyles, but an author says the days of petroleum prosperity are nearing an end. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. We've been burning petroleum like a fool with a family inheritance. Richard Heinberg says the party's over, and that's the title of his new book about oil.
It took nature tens of millions of years to make fossil fuels, to cook them slowly under the Earth's crust. And we're burning them in an extraordinarily short period of time, an eye blink of geological time.
Heinberg says half of North America's oil has been burned in his 52-year lifetime, and he says the next few generations will see the rest of it disappear.
By the time a child born today is in their 50s or 60s or 70s, there will be virtually no significant oil being produced on the planet.
Heinberg says oil production always follows a bell-shaped curve. The pattern is the same for individual oil fields, entire countries, and the world as a whole. U.S. production peaked in 1970 and has fallen past the production rate of the late 1940s. Heinberg says other oil producers are following the same curve.
Of the 44 significant oil-producing countries in the world, 24 of them have gone through that same process. We just saw this with the North Sea oil production over the last two or three years. First Norway and then Great Britain going over the top so that now they're producing less oil than they were 4 years ago. And it looks as though that's going to continue with depletion rates of 2-4% per year.
Heinberg says we haven't planned for the end of oil and we're in for some unpleasant changes in the not-too-distant future. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I understand Pickles has recorded a couple of new comments about this program. That will be a relief to hear the new ones. I am really getting tired of hearing the same Pickles comments over and over. Aren't you all? regarding the money that's going to Iraq, according to Representative Henry Waxman's recent letter to OMB, Office of Management and Budget, U.S. companies are overcharging U.S. taxpayers by a factor of 10. This makes the $200 toilet seats and $150 hammers that got a lot of publicity during the last time we had a real dunce in the White House, real Republican dunce, that'd be Ronald Reagan. It makes those reports look like chump change. A factor of 10. Now, it's not just Henry Waxman. This is the conclusion also of numerous members of the Iraqi Governing Council, the Coalition Provisional Authority, and a number of U.S. military commanders in Iraq. Guess who's getting the money? Well, first, guess where the money's coming from. No, it's not coming from us. No, it's not coming from our kids. It's coming from our grandchildren. And guess who it's going to? That's right. Halliburton, Bechtel, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Is war profiteering, is that not an impeachable offense when the highest levels of the U.S. government are involved? I guess not. I guess it isn't. The Center for Corporate Policy issued a statement. They are another watchdog organization. It says there are good reasons to fear that the contracting bonanza will serve to enrich the Bush administration's corporate cronies more than it benefits the Iraqi people. Top Republican lobbyists like former FEMA director Joe Albaugh, remember him? I think he was Bush's campaign manager. And then he headed up FEMA, and then he said, George, let me out of here, man. I got to go make some money. Why don't you invade Iraq? And anyway, top Republican lobbyists like Joe Albaugh and former House Appropriations Committee Chairman Bob Livingston are lining up clients who stand to benefit. Well, Bob Livingston was more than just the former House Appropriations Committee. Do you remember Bob Livingston? When Newt Gingrich was forced out by the Tom DeLay faction in the U.S. House. He was forced out as Speaker, and then he was forced to resign, or it appeared he just decided, hey, I'm getting out of here. The guy that was picked to take his place was Bob Livingston, a congressman from Louisiana. He was going to be the new Speaker of the House. And then do you remember what happened? Can I see your show of hands? Ah, there's a few hands in the back of the class. That's right. Turned out that Bob Livingston couldn't keep his pants zipped. Bob Livingston, when his constituents would come to see him, or when lobbyists would come to see him, mostly lobbyists, if they were female lobbyists, it was just a standing order. Sit down, put your legs up, remove your panties. I'm Bob Livingston. You want something from me? I've got something for you first. And it was so egregious. And when it spread all over the newspapers, you'll pardon the expression, poor Bob Livingston's wife almost had a nervous collapse. She had no idea, I tell you, that her church-going, upstanding Republican Speaker of the House designate husband was nothing more than a pimp and a male whore. It was awful. Poor Mrs. Livingston. She wound up going to church 5 nights a week instead of 3 just to overcome. And Bob Livingston resigned before he got the job as Speaker of the House. Remember Bob Livingston? Yeah. I've already said tonight I hate these people, haven't I? Yeah, I think I did. So he's identified here by the Center for Corporate Policy. Shame on you folks for identifying him as the former House Appropriations Committee chairman. Bob Livingston was a rapacious thug who demanded sex from, we assume, just his female lobbyists, possibly some male lobbyists too. You never know with these folks, in return for his attention. Now what is he doing? Lining up clients to stick their hand into the Iraq till and rip off as much money as they can. Why do they hate us over there? Why are they going to kill us 1 or 2 a day until we leave? Because of things like this. Now, the National Priorities Project, another kind of government watchdog organization that is keeping track of the money for Iraq, they issued a statement today. The president's request for $87 billion for war and occupation in Iraq, if spent on other priorities, could pay for, in this country, $15 billion for school construction, which would result in 356,000 new jobs. 105,000 new affordable housing units, which would create 258,000 new jobs. $15 billion for local and state roads and bridges, which would create another 423,131 new jobs. Also, 221,000 school teachers, 84,000 firefighters, and health coverage for 5.5 million people. But that's not going to happen, you see, because the $87 billion that our grandchildren are kicking in for the Bush crime family, the $87 billion, jacked up by a factor of 10, is being used to line the pockets of Halliburton, Bechtel, Kellogg, Brown & Root, Dick Cheney, Richard Pearl, Condoleezza Rice, on and on and on. Now, a week after, remember the August blackout that left 50 million Americans without power, the biggest blackout in the history of the country? And right after that, the Secretary of Energy, Spencer Abraham. You're right. Of course he is. All the talk about, well, we're going to fix the grid, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Well, Spencer Abraham refused to separate that issue, grid modernization, from the rest of the energy bill, which is tied up in Congress. He refused to take grid modernization, put it on a fast track. Now, why is that important? Well, first of all, it means we're going to have more electric grid breakdowns in this country. But even more than that, that contradicts Too Stupid to Be President's promise immediately following the blackouts that he would take action to, I'm going to determine whether or not our grid needs to be modernized. I happen to think it does, and I've said so all along. In August of 2001, Bush played an active role in derailing $2 billion in low-interest loans for expanding transmission capacity in the Pacific Northwest. So you folks are next. Also, prior to the blackout, in June, way back in June of 2001, Bush accepted the decision of the Republican Congress to disallow a vote on an investment of $350 million in the western U.S. electric grid infrastructure. Now, why is that important, that number, $350 million? Well, last month, the Bush crime family was able to find $350 million to develop Iraq's electric infrastructure. This country? No. Iraq? Yes. Why? Well, we're back to the, you know, Halliburton, Bechtel, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. I've already said twice now I hate these people, haven't I, Kathy? This is going to set a record tonight. God, I hate these people. Three American armed guards killed in Gaza today. I guess you heard about that. A roadside bomb hit this convoy in the Gaza Strip today. Three security guards, fully armed. I don't know. I don't know what this is all about. NPR was reporting that this convoy contained people who were Americans who were going into the death camps, the Palestinian death camps that we refer to as the occupied territory in Gaza, to talk to people about Palestinian intellectuals who wanted to come to this country and study on a Fulbright scholarships or grants or whatever they are. And as the car containing these armed guards passed a certain spot, there was an explosion. They are guessing, or this is what is being reported, that it was a remotely detonated landmine or bomb that went off under this car. And eyewitness reports that were on NPR, one Palestinian man said that after the explosion, he ran out and he saw half a body over here, half a body over there, and arms and legs blown around the place. But the three people that were killed apparently were... they work for a private security firm based in, I think it's Northern Virginia. And the eyewitnesses said that when the vehicle exploded, there were hand grenades, machine guns, all sorts of weapons that blew out of the car. So three Americans now killed in Gaza. Is that an excuse for the United States to start bombing the occupied territories? Could be. What else do we have here? Oh, the draft. Yeah, I do want to talk about this a little bit tonight with you. Okay, where in the hell are the Cubs playing tonight? Oh, are they? Okay. What? Every listener we have this program is a Cubs fan. We have 30 open lines here. Every single line is open. 800-825-5937. If I haven't brought up something you want to talk about, Jesus, please, you bring it up. But here, the draft. Key Democrats in the House and Senate are starting to renew calls for a military draft. Now, you could say this is part of this critical barrage they're preparing to launch against Bush. over the length of troop deployments and the heavy reliance in Iraq on reservists and National Guardsmen and women who did not sign up to become full-blown combat soldiers with open-ended commitments to go into a war zone. There is, as you know, because you keep yourself informed, there's a growing frustration among military families over this occupation. Are there legitimate policy grounds for reinstituting the draft? Those of you over a certain age, like moi, know that the draft was phased out after our adventure in Southeast Asia in the 60s and early 70s. But two Democrats, Charles Rangel of New York and Fritz Hollings of South Carolina, the top Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Commerce Committees, respectively, Rangel is a representative, Hollings is a senator, have said that they will, they are in favor of this universal military draft. And Rangel has instructed his staff to start conducting in-depth review of the makeup of the National Guard and the reserve units to find out who's serving, why they're serving, why it's open-ended. Now, a lot of people are freaking out. A lot of liberals and Democrats and moderates and middle-of-the-roaders are going, oh, Jesus, a draft! Why not? Why not a draft? Why not start talking about it to the extent that the American public understands? See, there's something that apparently the clods and geeks and knuckle-draggers who live in the red states and vote for Bush, what they don't understand. When you vote Bush in, if you have children around 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, if you have a cousin who's 26 in the reserves, or if your husband is 34 and a National Guardsman, Bush wants these people. Don't you understand that? That's part of your contract with George Bush. You vote him in, he sends your family members to go kill and or die for his oil buddies. So wouldn't you rather have this obligation spread out over the entire population than just falling on your family's shoulders? Huh? Isn't the idea of universal military service an excellent idea for a country that has decided it would rather go to war than not? Why should 146,000 stressed out U.S. troops, a huge minority of which never entered the reserve of the National Guard to go kill or be killed, why should they have to bear the burden? Huh? We have literally millions of 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22-year-olds in this country who are just champing at the bit, I'm sure, to pick up a weapon and go kill the towel heads. Well, let's give them a chance. No? You say that's not the case? At some point, if you call in tonight, at some point, I'd like you to comment on this idea of universal military service again. That, you know, we still register 18-year-olds. My son Chris is 24 when he was 18. He said, do I have to? Yes, sir, you do. You take your ass down the draft board downtown here in Atlanta and register. You have to do it. So Rangel and Hollings are saying, look, why should it fall on the backs of people who truly not, reservists and National Guardsmen are not unpatriotic. They are very patriotic. But they didn't sign up. I guess they're very patriotic. They didn't sign up to go to a combat zone on an open-ended commitment. Well, we don't know when you're coming back. This is not World War II, for Christ's sake, where people were in for the duration. So, yes, you want Mikey's opinion here? Absolutely. Bring back the draft. Or at least start talking about it. And let's see what happens to people who vote for Bush. Hmm? All right, I browbeat some of you into call. Luke is calling from Knoxville. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. First of all, Kathy wanted me to give you an update.
Okay.
It's the top of the fifth, and it's 5-3 Chicago right now.
All right. Now, just if if a fan doesn't stick his damn hand out and screw up what should have been an out, well, then maybe the Cubs will win.
Well, I'll be honest, though, Mike. I saw that last night. I don't think he did something awful that bad. He didn't at least lean down. At least it was right up in his face. I mean,
okay.
You know, at least it wasn't like some of them we've seen, you know, hang on with one arm and lean down almost onto the field.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so it's 5-3, top of the fifth?
Yep. Kerry Woods looks like he's starting to get lose it just a little.
Okay.
All right. But I told Kathy, now tomorrow Arnold and George meet. How many interpreters do you figure they're going to need?
Hold on a second. Let me put you out. Oh, look, I'm right back. How many interpreters are they going to? Probably none, because I think deep in his heart, George Bush speaks fluent German.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee, about Too Stupid to Be President, meeting the Gropinator out in California. Yeah, you're right. They're going to, God only knows how many interpreters are going to have sitting there. That I would love to be a fly on the wall there.
I'll be honest, because like I say, to me, Arnold speaks better English than George.
And that's that's a shame.
Oh, and now a quick update. Michael tells you, you shouldn't go away too long. It's now 6 to 5 Florida.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Woods just lost it. He's leaving it up.
Oh, God. All
yeah.
Right. Well, this means our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, Mary Ann, is going to be out of touch with this program for probably 3 or 4 months.
It's still good, and you still got plenty of time in this one.
Yeah, I mean, if the Cubs lose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But did you see a story today in the USA Today about the astroturfing? They were talking today, like apparently this, you know, they were saying dozen letters. According to this article in the USA Today, it was more like 500 letters.
Yeah, there were hundreds. But I think what happened, by the time 11 or 12 of them were published, editors started, editors are kind of like siding salesmen in that they talk with each other. They're in the same business.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody figured out, oh, my God, what is this?
Well, the way they were talking the other day, apparently the people at Gannett, somebody, one of the editors there noticed it and was kind of, I guess, went online with everybody else and said,
right.
Have you all seen this? But you know what the worst of this is, though?
What?
Now, imagine this. Any real soldier over there who writes a letter home, no one's going to believe him.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an interesting question whether or not this lieutenant colonel violated Universal Code of Military Justice. And I heard today on NPR that he is not going to be reprimanded or punished. They just said, hey, don't do any more letters. But he's undermined now the credibility of these young people who are over there fighting.
Yeah.
And once again, you see the disrespect that the Bush crime family and a certain element of the officer corps have for our fighters.
Well, it's sort of the silent blackmail. It's sort of like, how would you be over there if all of a sudden your colonel lays a letter in front of you and says, sign this?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you say, no.
Yeah, I will say.
He doesn't order you, but it's like, you know, Private Johnson over here, he just said he didn't want to sign one.
Yeah, you sign or I send you to the Eastern Front. No, wait, that was Germans in World War II. Oh, never mind. Luke, thanks for checking in, Pat.
All right, Mike, you have a good evening.
All right, sir, you too. Okay, quick break. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, please don't go. Love to hear what you got to say tonight. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling up
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Nagging criticism on the economy and Iraq policy are taking their toll on President Bush's political standing, according to a new ABC News Washington Post poll. The poll says that nearly 6 in 10 Americans call U.S. casualties in Iraq unacceptable, more than double its level at last April's fall of Baghdad, and most continue to disapprove of his handling of the economy. More than 8 in 10 continue to see the alleged White House leak of a CIA operative's identity as a serious matter, and the number who think the administration is fully cooperating in the investigation is down to 39%. The person responsible for analyzing the Iraqi weapons threat for Colin Powell says the Secretary of State misinformed Americans during his speech at the UN last February. Greg Thielman told the CBS program 60 Minutes 2 that at the time of Powell's speech, Iraq didn't pose an imminent threat to anyone, not even its own neighbors. Thielman said the decision to go to war was made first, and then the intelligence was interpreted to fit that conclusion, saying senior administration officials used faith-based intelligence. Another UN inspector, Steve Allenson, told of a dozen UN inspectors watching Powell's speech and laughing at various times because the information he was presenting had no meaning. The Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights said in a letter Tuesday that California Governor-elect Arnold Schwarzenegger must explain the substance of his private May 2001 meeting with Enron chief Ken Lay. If Schwarzenegger does not recount the meeting by the time of his inauguration, the group would ask state lawmakers to open an investigation to uncover the substance of that meeting, including any information that might further the state's efforts to return billions of dollars that taxpayers and consumers overpaid for electricity during the energy crisis. A meeting with the biggest corporate crook in recent memory while he and his firm were in the midst of ripping off the state should not be taken lightly, FTCR wrote. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is planning to cut at least 100 of the nation's 425 military bases in 2005, shutting down more military bases than in the four previous rounds of closures combined. Rumsfeld will submit to the Congressional Base Closure and Realignment Commission a plan to shutter as many as one-third of Army bases, one-quarter of Air Force bases, and a smaller percentage of Marine Corps and Navy bases. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A Russian man's attempt to get a paint stain out of his pants destroyed his Moscow apartment. The man added a liter of gasoline to his washing machine, and the ensuing explosion wrecked his kitchen and demolished two internal walls. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
You've probably never heard of Mr. Wally Odell or of his corporation, Diebold, Inc. But Odell and his firm are reaching out and touching you and millions of your fellow Americans in a most fundamental way. Diebold has become one of America's largest sellers of touchscreen computer voting equipment. Most states have converted from real ballot boxes to these virtual systems provided by outfits like Diebold. Instead of physically marking your ballots, now you touch the screen to make your choices, and, supposedly, the touchscreen technology magically transfers your vote into cyberspace. But what about real space? Growing numbers of Americans are alarmed by evidence that these computerized systems can be easily manipulated to steal our votes. Various organizations of computer professionals have called for stringent new reforms to protect our precious right of voting from the thieves who would loot our votes from these untraceable cyber boxes. Public concern has been heightened by revelations that the biggest providers of digital voting technology are strong partisans and major backers of the Republican Party. At the top of this list is Odell. He's had security concerns raised about his voting computers, even as he has been soliciting big donations for the election of George W. In August, Wally jetted down to Bush's ranchette in Crawford, Texas, for a presidential powwow with GOP fundraisers who have committed to raising big bucks for Bush's campaign. The very next week, Odell sent out letters asking for $10,000 donations for the Republican Party. And only one day later, the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio blessed Wally's company with official authorization to provide electronic voting machines in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn how you can help to stop electronic voting fraud, go to www.verifiedvoting.org.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. The vodka poet in Nashville sent this to me. He says, Mike, I was listening to Rush's replacement yesterday, and I noticed he referred to the Democratic presidential candidates as the dwarfs, as in the seven dwarfs. I gave this some thought. If the Democratic candidates are the dwarfs, then that would make the voters Snow White and George W. Bush the Wicked Witch, intent on poisoning the voters into a perpetual state of slumber. Isn't it great, the vodka poet writes, when neocons fail to complete the thought process? Long live the dwarfs. 800-TALK, yes, is where we are. Joanne is calling from Camden, Maine.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Joanne.
I'm a huge fan of yours, and you say the right things, right? I just have two questions for you tonight.
Okay.
I'd like your opinion on the outing of Ms. Plam, CIA agent, and my thought is the Bush is stonewalling on this. I'd also like to know what you think about Howard Dean.
Well, as far as Valerie Plame, I think the way you pronounce your last name, yeah, I think that was one of the worst things that the Bush crime family has done out of just an entire encyclopedia of bad things since they illegally seized power in this country. In the many conversations we've had about over the past couple of weeks, Joanne, we've kind of come to the conclusion that The truth will never really come out, as the truth will never come out with anything the Bush crime family does. But it was an act of a treason on the part of Bush, I think, a treason in the sense that he totally violated his oath. It put nobody really knows how many people at risk. So it's just one more, as egregious as it was, as terrible as it was, as much of a crime as it was just one in a long list of crimes and egregious acts this administration has committed. Now, as far as Howard Dean is concerned, I think Howard Dean makes a good candidate. The candidate I'm backing right now is Dennis Kucinich, have been for a number of months now. And I understand the reality of this race. I think Dennis Kucinich represents the Democratic core constituency, Democratic Party core constituency. Dennis Kucinich is, in my opinion, the only true liberal in the race. I think Howard Dean would make a fine candidate. He's a moderate. He is not a liberal Democrat, though. He is no more a liberal a Democrat than Joe Lieberman deserves to be a nominee. So here's my take regarding all these candidates. The reality probably will be this is not me talking. So people who support Dean or people that support Kerry or people that support Kucinich, please don't be angry with me for what I'm about to say. The reality is the Democratic Party nominee, given just innumerable situations that we're dealing with in this country, will probably be Wesley Clark. Now, I could vote for Wesley Clark. I could vote for John Kerry. I could vote for Howard Dean. I could vote for I could vote for Al Sharpton, even though so many people do not consider him to be a serious candidate. I have my doubts about Sharpton because of the Tawana Brawley affair from 15 years ago or whenever it was. As far as former Senator Kira Mosley Braun is concerned, I don't consider her to be a valid candidate. I simply do not, for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the dealings that she had with the dictator Abacha, Nigerian dictator Abacha, and it's a long story. It goes back years. As far as Howard Dean is concerned, we have a lot of people who listen to this program who are Dean supporters, and I think he makes one hell of a good candidate. He's very stirring. He certainly gets my blood pumping. But right now, my man is Dennis Kucinich. Does that get it for you?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. You were very even-handed there. And thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joanne. Appreciate you checking in. I hope you call again. You have a nice evening. Joseph is calling from Philpott, Kentucky. Joseph, this is your first time calling, right?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Welcome aboard. Where is Philpott, Kentucky?
Well, Philpott is located just outside of Owensboro.
Oh, okay. You're over in the western part of the state.
Yes, sir.
Is it named Philpott for the obvious reason? Somebody said, go fill this pot. A lot of small towns get their names, and to outsiders, they look like, oh, man, where'd that name come from? And it usually just comes from some little incident like that. Like, why is a little creek called the Snake Creek? Well, it's because when somebody found it, it was full of snakes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, never mind. Never mind, Joseph. Now, why you really called?
Yes, I had a friend of mine call me, and he said that you were talking about the draft tonight and
right.
About President Bush and some of the events that have transpired. And he said that he really wished that I would call and speak with you about it.
Okay.
And I've been listening to your show here, and I am a Bush supporter.
Uh-oh.
And
why?
I served in the service.
No.
For 5 years.
That's okay. Why are you a Bush supporter?
Well, I remember.
Because serving in the military, let me interrupt, serving in the military for 5 years would, to me, make good sense to be a good reason to be somebody who despised Bush and do anything to get him out of office, since Bush has utterly no respect for the military or military families or military dependents. And that's a matter of record. That's not a matter of opinion. He does everything he can to destroy support systems for veterans once they get out of the service, and to shortchange military personnel while they are active duty. You know, he tried to take away their hazard duty pay. He tried to take away extra pay that goes to military defendants. This is just in the past 6 months until he was found out. So the fact that you served in the military for 5 years would lead me to believe that you would do anything you could that was legal to get this man out of office, since he totally disrespects the U.S. military, and he was a deserter.
Well, I'll tell you, probably, you've mentioned several points there that are probably legitimate.
Well, not probably, sir. No qualifier. Right. They are absolutely legitimate.
And to top it off, I have a college degree, and I've been unemployed and not been able to get a professional job past 3 years.
But that's because of George Bush's economic policies. And you're saying you're ex-military, you're an unemployed, college-educated professional. You've given me two prime examples of how George W. Bush would be your worst enemy, politically speaking. And yet you say you're a Bush supporter?
Yes.
Why?
I remember September 11th. And as I have mentioned, I have a college degree, and I've studied history. And I know that conquering Iraq was not...
Now, wait a second. You're making it very difficult for me. What did Iraq have to do with 9/11? Nothing. Even Bush himself has said that Saddam Hussein, not more than... You're starting to shake my confidence in people who call this program, Joseph, and say they're Bush supporters. You're really starting to make me think that you might be marginally insane. And I don't know if you're crazy. I don't know if you're on drugs. I don't know if you're drunk. But everything you have said so far makes no sense whatsoever. Even the too stupid to be president himself has come out and said that Saddam had nothing to do with the attack on this country. So right. where were you going with that?
Well, I'm saying that the war that we are currently in, although even if it is not because of September 11th.
Even if it's not?
I still believe that I have faith and President Bush in our country.
But he said there's no linkage between Iraq and 9/11. What is it that you have faith in regarding that, Joseph?
Well, first of all, he comes from a great state. He comes from Texas, and you can't, that's a plus.
Okay. You're putting me on. You're putting me on, Joseph.
You don't think Texas is a great state?
This is a fun. Let's do a fun number on Mike phone call. Man, you had me going.
And I don't have the same opinion of him that you do. I think that he is a good leader.
Oh wait, what has he led?
He's led our country
into chaos.
I think that we were in chaos long before he ever...
Oh, Jesus! The 8 years of Clinton, when not a single U.S. soldier died as a result of an order from Bill Clinton, when we had the longest economic expansion in the history of this republic, 8 years of peace and prosperity, record stock market highs, black ink where it concerns the federal budget, a massive savings, paying down the debt, and George Bush comes into office and turns every single one of those things into the dirt, and you say he's a good leader? To what? What has he led us to? Well, that's right. He's from Texas.
Well, I'm sure that several leaders have had the same people look at them.
Oh, Joseph.
Look at Winston Churchill.
What's he done? Joseph, please don't say George Bush and Winston Churchill's name in the same sentence. That's sacrilege. Let me ask you something, Joe. Let's take it from the ridiculous to some other level. What has the Bush policies done specifically for you and your family?
Just just because he hasn't done nothing.
No. Wait. Don't.
Let me
I'll tell you what. Let me put you on hold. We'll take a break and give you a chance to think about it here. Here's the question, Joe, and I'd love to hear your answer. I really would. And I'll give you all the time you need to answer. What specifically has George Bush's policies done for you or your family? Okay? Hold on. We'll come right back to you, Joe.
I come from Texas. The new Prime Minister of India is, Mass destruction.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
You've probably never heard of Mr. Wally Odell or of his corporation, Diebold, Inc. But Odell and his firm are reaching out and touching you and millions of your fellow Americans in a most fundamental way. Diebold has become one of America's largest sellers of touchscreen computer voting equipment. Most states have converted from real ballot boxes to these virtual systems provided by outfits like Diebold. Instead of physically marking your ballots, now you touch the screen to make your choices and, supposedly, the touchscreen technology magically transfers your vote into cyberspace. But what about real space? Growing numbers of Americans are alarmed by evidence that these computerized systems can be easily manipulated to steal our votes. Various organizations of computer professionals have called for stringent new reforms to protect our precious right of voting from the thieves who would loot our votes from these untraceable cyber boxes. Public concern has been heightened by revelations that the biggest providers of digital voting technology are strong partisans and major backers of the Republican Party. At the top of this list is Odell. He's had security concerns raised about his voting computers, even as he has been soliciting big donations for the election of George W. In August, Wally jetted down to Bush's ranchette in Crawford, Texas, for a presidential powwow with GOP fundraisers who have committed to raising big bucks for Bush's campaign. The very next week, Odell sent out letters asking for $10,000 donations for the Republican Party. And only one day later, the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio blessed Wally's company with official authorization to provide electronic voting machines in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn how you can help to stop electronic voting fraud, go to www.verifiedvoting.org.
business that Saddam Hussein was involved with, September the 11th.
Now, I would assume Joseph heard that. That's right out of Too Stupid to Be President's pie hole. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Joe in Philpott, Kentucky, who says he's an unemployed military veteran. And Joe says he's a Bush supporter because Bush is from Texas. And Joe says Bush is a great leader because of what happened on 9-1-1. Joe, you've had a few minutes to think about it now. Tell me one thing, if you would, that Bush has done that has benefited you, your family, or, as a matter of fact, anyone you know.
You know, I really thought about that, and I think it's a good question. And I think the very nature of that question...
You're not going to answer.
Right? I am going to answer.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Is what have they done for me? And I think that is that's a big thing. And I think as a nation, we should all ask, how can we all serve better? And what can we give to our country?
Okay, Joe, this is you're putting me on. I know you are. I guess this is fun. I'll play a little bit longer with you if you want.
Okay.
I get the sense that you cannot or will not answer my specific question. What has the Bush crime family done for you, directly or indirectly, or anyone you know?
I hadn't finished. I did have an answer for you.
Oh, okay.
I originally called.
And that's not the answer. Look, we'll get on with the rest of your conversation, but okay. Tell me what Bush has done for you.
I really believe that during the time of our nation's crisis,
he showed
the leadership to pull us through.
He was hiding. He was ducking. He was hiding underground. He disappeared. What are you talking about? Joe, I understand now. You live in a parallel universe, and somebody opened the door, and you flipped over here into this universe, and you're just having fun at these dimensional creatures' expense. And I'm one. See, our dimension here...
I really believe that...
Wait. Our dimension is based on actually three, time... time and space. What else, Kathy? Breadth, width, depth, and time. Yours, on the other hand, must be just, I don't know, time? In your dimension, does everything happen at once, or do you all have, like, clocks?
No, I live in the same dimension as you, Mike.
No, you don't, Joseph. You live in a dimension where somebody named George Bush is a great leader, and that ain't here, pal.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't be able to laugh about September 11th like we are if it hadn't been for his great leadership.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm really enjoying...
main reason I called was to tell you...
Do you work as a professional comedian?
No.
You don't? You ought to try it. Because you have a very droll delivery. It's very good. You had me going there for a while. Even to the extent where I suggest you might be insane, drunk, or on drugs, but I understand now. Joseph, I'm glad you called in. It's good to get a new caller. I hope you call in again.
Can I tell you my opinion on what I originally called about?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that as far as the draft is concerned, I support it if that's what our country needs.
Okay. All right.
And... I support President Bush,
and
I think he's an honorable man. I don't think it's a crime family at all.
Right.
And I would serve my country, even to this day,
if they
called me.
Yeah.
And
what branch
I'm proud of my service that I served.
What branch of the military were you in?
I served in the Army and the Coast Guard.
Oh, what unit were you in the Army?
I was in Charlie 13-4, Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And in the Coast Guard. I started out in Sierra 122 and later was, of course, given my assignment on the Coast Guard Cutter Chippewa.
Yeah.
And then I was assigned at Group.
You're reading this, aren't you?
Milwaukee. No, I'm not. I'm sure not. And then I was assigned at Coast Guard Air Station Detroit, where I did search and rescue.
Joseph, thanks for checking in, pal. I hope you call again.
Okay, sure thing, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening.
My collar blue, I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only
high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A scientist gets a rare chance to hang out on the bottom of the sea. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Gregory Stone once had the opportunity to spend a week living on a coral reef. His home was 5 miles off the coast of Florida and 50 feet beneath the waves. He wrote about the experience for the September issue of National Geographic magazine. Stone is the vice president for global marine programs at the New England Aquarium in Boston. His home on the reef was Aquarius. It's a pressurized, high-tech tube that measures about half the length of a school bus.
For me, it's wonderful. One of my favorite places to be is under the water and living in Aquarius. It's kind of a combination of a submarine ride, a space flight, and a week in a college dorm.
Stone says 5 other people were in the habitat, so space was tight, but he says that was a minor inconvenience. The great benefit of Aquarius is that the people on board can adjust completely to underwater pressures. That lets them spend more time working on the bottom than if they were diving from the surface and had to decompress after every dive. Stone was on the vessel to study marine sanctuaries and their impact on the recovery of fish populations, but he also took time to relax.
One of the things I like to do at Aquarius is to go outside at around dusk and find a spot on the reef and settle in and stay there for hours on end watching the transition from daylight to nighttime, because the ocean is a very dynamic place. It's changing all the time. The animals have patterns that relate to currents, that relate to light, that relate to darkness, and living underwater in Aquarius is one way to really experience all that.
Aquarius is owned by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's the only underwater habitat in the world devoted to scientific study of the oceans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
I'm still kind of trying to recover from the caller. A couple of emails about this guy. Tom writes in, Tom from Marietta, Mike, my wife and I are really enjoying this caller from Phil Bucket, Kentucky. No conservative would ever engage someone from the opposite side the way you are this person. This is what we're faced with in this country. Unbelievable. Well, Phil Bucket, Phil Pot, Ted in Jacksonville, Florida says, this guy can't be serious, can he? I really do hope that this is a regular caller yanking your chain or Kathy giving you a late April Fool's joke or something crazy. If this guy is real, his voter card needs to be ripped to shreds. from Shirley. Mike, are you sure he's calling from his home or an institution? He makes my head hurt. I really thought this guy was joking, but he sounds as if he might be related to that other guy who works in a Burger King and calls you all the time. Who was that? Who's that? What's that guy's name? David. That's right. From Reverend Debu. Subject line says, so cruel. Man, you're just like a cat playing with a helpless little mouse before killing it. You're torturing this poor Joe guy. I didn't do anything, Reverend Debu. And then Al, who listens in Pensacola, Florida, he says, I can't believe this caller's ignorance. This has to be a joke. You never know anymore, do you? I would tend to think that Joe and Philbucket was... Philpot, Philbucket, what? I would tend to think that was a joke. And that was good. That was a good joke. I got to appreciate his control. You know, he was very good. Or that is a Limbaugh listening, well, it used to be, Bush supporter. You never know. You just never know, do you? You just never know. David is calling from Claremont, California. David, this is your first time calling, right?
It sure is. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're a Democratic Underground dude.
Yeah, I post under the name David Zephyr.
David Zephyr.
And you are so great, Mike. But I got to tell you, this guy Joe, I know you thought that he was like fooling you, but he's real.
He's real?
You're living in, I'm calling you from the land of Arnold out here.
Yeah.
Remember the movie, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Oh, yeah.
Pods are all over the place. These are real people. You were laughing, and I'm laughing, but I'm telling you, Michael, this guy's real. And that is our dilemma. How do we reach these people?
I don't know.
He's out of work.
It begs the question, do we want to reach him?
Well, I don't know, but they're slowly pushing us down into the last corners of you know, any political discourse of this country. I mean, this guy actually believes that Iraq was tied with 9/11, but Bush is from Texas, you know.
Right. Well, that explains it all, doesn't it?
I tell you, Michael.
I don't know. I had a feeling, I don't know if it was a year ago or 10 years ago, things kind of just run together now like a watercolor left out in the rain. I'm losing it big time. But I remember having a thought. Related to what I tried to get across to this guy, I have a feeling that somebody left a door open someplace, you know, on a space-time continuum.
I heard you. The parallel universe.
Yeah, something. There's a door open. There's a draft.
Or, Michael, we slipped into their parallel universe.
Oh, jeez.
And let's look for the portal to get out.
I hope there one exists. Well, thanks, David.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you. Keep it up.
Pleasure's all mine. Call in again.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, I started thinking, what if? Because look what we went from, or look. Come on, get it right, Mike. Look what we went to. From the middle of the year 2000 to December 12, 2000. Look what happened. Look what happened. Now. In a absolute, concrete, hands-on universe, I don't think things could go that berserk that quickly. Unless, and this is what, I don't know, I might have been high one night, who knows, but I got the impression somebody left a door, a window, a wormhole, something open, a string. Y'all are familiar with string theory. Something was left open, unplugged, somebody put in connected something, probably some geeked out scientist working in particle physics and quantum mechanics someplace in some lab, and he just, I don't know, he just put tab A into slot B when he shouldn't have, and there was just this little beep, beep. And it's like something opened, a portal, a door, a slit, a crack, a window, a rat hole, a wormhole, something. And all of a sudden into this reality rushes whatever this is. And I started trying to test it, and I noticed that every time I turn around, it's Wednesday again. No matter what I do, it's like, damn, Kathy, it's Wednesday again. And you know, that I don't know about you, but I immediately think, well, what the hell happened to Tuesday and Monday and Sunday and Saturday and Friday and Thursday? Where'd it go? Every time I pay attention, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Maybe it's always Wednesday. Whatever they've done. You know, the way out someplace in real space, not cyberspace, there is a mountain. I'll call it a mountain. I can't describe it to you. I saw it one time. It's not really a mountain, but let's call it a mountain. There's a machine on top. And it looks like one of these Rube Goldberg machines. And it spits out seconds. Time divisions. Seconds. And they look like big globs of mercury. And they go pew. One after another, and that stream of time flows, well, everywhere. Everything's fine. Pew, 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 unless something happens and it goes like this. Pew, 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 pew. Maybe we are stuck in one of those pew poops. I don't know. But Joseph from... what was it? Phil Skellett? Phil Pot Kentucky. I don't know. Alicia is calling from Tampa. Oh, my God, another new caller. Hey, Alicia.
Yeah.
And you're also a Democratic Underground dudette.
Got it. I go under the name of Kelladisi.
Well, welcome aboard.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I've only been listening to you for a week. I found out about you, you know, from Democratic Underground.
Yeah.
And I have, a question and a comment. My first question is, I want to have your baby, or will you have my baby? I'm a little bit too old for that one. Okay, Mike? I'm kidding. No, I think you're great. But my question is that, could you comment on the, you know, attack on... You're still laughing.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, yeah, I could do a stand-up act.
Yeah.
But,
you and Joe from Phil Skellett.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Poor Joe. Oh, please. Poor
right.
Joe. Could you comment on the attack on Syria by Israel? In other words, put on your tinfoil hat. Maybe you don't need that. But did we put him up to it?
That possibility does exist.
I'm thinking of PNAC and how...
Well,
you
sure,
know,
sure.
I mean, how he, you know, this moron can't come out and suddenly say, oh, now we're going to attack Iraq, Syria.
Right. Yeah, the Defense Policy Board, which is the group that is partly responsible for the policy for a new American century, whatever the hell it's called, the PNAC thing, yeah, mm-hmm. they are mm-hmm. what now are referred to as American Zionists, and they believe in this theory of preemption. Mm-hmm. I said the other night on the program, the country that really established the theory of preemptive war, and I'm not criticizing one way or the other or complimenting, it's just a statement of fact. The country that established that is Israel. Take a look at the 1967 war. Now, someone can make a case that it was a good tactical move on the part of the Israeli military when all of a sudden Syria, Jordan, and Egypt were amassing their troops and getting ready to what appeared to be invade. And the Israelis struck first, and, mm-hmm. and as a result of that, the 67 war lasted 6 days. You know, it took the mythological gods 7 days to create the universe. The Israelis ended a war in 6 days. So, this thing that exists between every administration in this country, going back to Harry Truman when Israel was established, all the way up to the present, it's been a very strange thing. I said the other night on the program, I have a lot of friends who are Israelis, a lot of friends who are Palestinians, and I'm
I heard you.
Born in the Middle East, a lot of them. So it's real difficult. I can see Israeli foreign policy has been, in so many instances, terrible. I think Ariel Sharon is literally a war criminal. His own people declared him persona non grata because of what he did at the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps in southern Lebanon.
I totally agree.
Right. So, but we've had war criminals head our country too. We've had people that have committed some of the most atrocious acts against Vietnamese, against Central Americans. I think Ronald Reagan was a war criminal. I think Lyndon Johnson was a war criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Richard Nixon was a war criminal. So to
get a lot of them.
Yeah, Ariel Sharon, the attack on Syria, I honestly believe, there's a part of me that believes that this is a coordinated effort between the American Zionists and the Israeli Zionists, of whom Ariel Sharon is the probably the most violent. He's not a Barak. He's not any Israeli prime minister I can think of, over the, going all the way back to Jimmy Carter, who none of them have been as much of a warmonger, not even a Netanyahu. None of them have been as violent a warmonger as Ariel Sharon. So what was the deal with Israel attacking Syria? I don't know. Maybe they had good intelligence that said there is a training camp for suicide bombers, and we're going to strike it.
I thought that was proven false by the Syrians, but...
Well, the thing about the Middle East, and I think Middle East scholars will tell you this, don't believe anybody. I don't care if they're Syrian, Iraqis, Jordanians, Israelis, Egyptians, Iranians. Believe nobody. Because that part of the world, how far back do you want to go? 5,000 years? 8,000 years? That part of the world, you know, where all these different religions and cultures clash. Everybody is a liar. Everybody's a deceiver. Everybody is involved in just a massive deception. So, you know, you pay your money and you take your choice.
Got it. The only other thing I wanted to mention was about Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know why he got the name Rush. But anyhow, I thought it was interesting that, do you know he smokes only Cuban cigars?
I've heard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's real patriotic, isn't it? Isn't that wrong? I mean, you know, where does he get those?
Well, if he ever develops mouth cancer, somehow he'll say that, you know, it's Castro's fault or something.
Like his deafness.
Yeah.
And also that his favorite place to visit is Paris, which I find quite interesting.
Well,
he always talks about the French-looking John Kerry, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think Rush is kind of like the Middle East. Everything's a lie, deception, smoke and mirrors, people pulling strings. It's just, it's madness. Madness, I tell you, madness. Hey, Alicia, thank you for checking in.
No problem. I'll call again.
I hope you will.
Nice talking with you.
You too. Take care. Have a nice evening. Middle East. So sad. The whole situation. Let's go back to, let's go all the way back to Richard the Lionhearted, so-called, who led one of the Crusades, didn't he? Huh? The slaughter to try to take back the Holy Land from the pagan Muslims. Of course, Richard the Lionhearted, like so many of the Crusaders, you know, when they would stop for lunch along the way, making that long trek from Northern Europe into the Middle East, when they'd stop for lunch, you know, put out a picnic spread and go in the nearest village and kill a bunch of Jews. The whole thing is crazy, isn't it? Of course it is. Jerry is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Can I take a quickly, in response to the last caller, Alicia, as to why Israel went after that camp in Syria? And I heard this commentator, I even think that's a funny word, as though a common potato, commentator.
Right. Commentator as opposed to an elite tater.
Yeah, precisely.
Right.
Said on the news, and I agreed with that, it was an example of Israel basically being out of options in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's primarily what that was. And again, you're right. It's all about deception, and that's why we should go from calling the Holy Land Horistan clarification. Now then, in regards to Joe.
Yeah, the caller from Phil Bucket, Kentucky.
Phil Bucket, whatever. You need to give him a copy of Al Franken's up-and-coming new book. Have you heard what that is?
Oh, yeah, The Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them?
No, it's got another one? It's in the works right now. It's a sequel to a thing he did about Rush. You know, Rush Limbaugh, his new book is Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Dumb Junkie.
That's a follow-up to Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot?
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, I'm the one that said, you know, we're gone through the looking glass, and perhaps, like Alice in Wonderland, we need to take advice from a hookah-smoking caterpillar. I didn't know that was going to be Rush Limbaugh.
Right. Well,
I had no idea.
If he only smoked things, he would have been much mellower. He would have gotten on the air and fessed up to everything he needs to fess up, and he would have led his ditto heads into compassion and liberal thought. You know, if he just smoked.
Well, and then and what I
whoops, just, hey, hold on a second, Jerry. Got to put you on hold. We'll come right back. Quick break. Stay with us.
I love Paris every moment, every moment of the year.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylan's.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you are ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking to Jerry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I forget where we were.
The hookah smoker caterpillar.
Oh,
that's either here or there.
Yeah.
It's all just one big Luciferian concept. I'm serious.
I know you are.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you were talking about, I thought it was fascinating, you were talking about the founder of the Chinese rocket program.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
His family name is T-S-I-E-N. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sien.
Sien?
Yeah. That's his surname, right? His surname is the last name. His given name, I don't know.
Okay.
I put the story in the trash heap.
Well, if you really want a good read about the founding of JPL and how that's related to Luciferian concepts.
Well, he was one of the co-founders of JPL.
Yeah, along with a man by the name of Jack Parsons. And that's chronicled in a book called Love and Rockets. And Jack Parsons was also part of Crowley's OTO at one point.
Right, you're getting way over my head, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
I'm not as well read as you are about this stuff.
I apologize. No,
that's right.
People are. But I highly recommend the book Love and Rockets about the founding of JPL. It's really interesting.
Love and Rockets. Yeah, but you are. That's your business, isn't it?
Do I?
Aren't you a rocket person, or aren't you some...
No, civil engineering.
Well, excuse me.
Engineering.
Oh, excuse me. That's right. Engineering has nothing to do with rockets.
Well, I'm not a rocket scientist, no.
I didn't want to say that. You did.
I'm not a rocket scientist.
But if you're if you're an engineer, you would probably enjoy reading about the founding of JPL, whereas the rest of us would just sit there and our eyes would glaze over.
Well, but it's
all right, what's the name of it? Love and Rockets?
Yes, and it's about how he was also part of the member of Crowley's Luciferian Temple.
Luciferian Temple.
OTO, yeah.
Okay.
Order Temple Orientis.
Okay.
You can find more information at otohq.org. But regarding the Shiites in Iraq, and I'm looking at the clock, I have to be quick about this.
Yeah.
You made the comment, you want to see democracy in Iraq, say hello to a greater Islamic republic.
Yeah.
And I think that republic will be part of the greater Islamic Republic of Iran. And I don't know if you've noticed the Shiite warring going on.
Well, yeah, the Shia in Iran, they dominate there. That's the reason one of the reasons they had a war with Saddam, because he was a Baathist, a secular Muslim, but he was also a Sunni. So yeah, you're probably right. And
this is all what Bush is doing.
And they'll call it Mesopotamia.
They call it Persia.
There you go.
They call it Persia.
There you go,
and,
Jerry.
And,
Jerry.
Yeah.
We're out of time.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no. All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stepan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The person responsible for analyzing the Iraqi weapons threat for Colin Powell says the Secretary of State misinformed Americans during his speech at the UN last February. Greg Thielman told the CBS program 60 Minutes 2 that at the time of Powell's speech, Iraq didn't pose an imminent threat to anyone, not even its own neighbors. Thielman said the decision to go to war was made first, and then the intelligence was interpreted to fit that conclusion, saying senior administration officials used faith-based intelligence. Another UN inspector, Steve Allenson, told of a dozen UN inspectors watching Powell's speech and laughing at various times because the information he was presenting had no meaning. Nagging criticism on the economy and Iraq policy are taking their toll on President Bush's political standing, according to a new ABC News Washington Post poll. The poll says that nearly 6 in 10 Americans call U.S. casualties in Iraq unacceptable, more than double its level at last April's fall of Baghdad, and most continue to disapprove of his handling of the economy. More than 8 in 10 continue to see the alleged White House leak of a CIA operative's identity as a serious matter, and the number who think the administration is fully cooperating in the investigation is down to 39%. The Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights said in a letter Tuesday that California Governor-elect Arnold Schwarzenegger must explain the substance of his private May 2001 meeting with Enron chief Ken Lay. If Schwarzenegger does not recount the meeting by the time of his inauguration, the group would ask state lawmakers to open an investigation to uncover the substance of that meeting, including any information that might further the state's efforts to return billions of dollars that taxpayers and consumers overpaid for electricity during the energy crisis. A meeting with the biggest corporate crook in recent memory while he and his firm were in the midst of ripping off the state should not be taken lightly, FTCR wrote. In that letter, FTCR asked Schwarzenegger to rewrite his energy policy and remove his push for further energy deregulation that reflect an Enron perspective. At least half of House Democrats will vote against President Bush's $87 billion spending request for Iraq and Afghanistan this week, and others plan to support it under protest. The bill is expected to pass both houses with Republican support, but its price tag has dampened enthusiasm on both sides of the aisle.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A Nevada man was feeling so wealthy after he allegedly stole $90,000 from an elderly woman that he decided to pay off a year's worth of his rent. He tried to pay it off in $50,000 cash to his landlord, a Reno police officer. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home.
Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
You've probably never heard of Mr. Wally Odell or of his corporation, Diebold, Inc. But Odell and his firm are reaching out and touching you and millions of your fellow Americans in a most fundamental way. Diebold has become one of America's largest sellers of touchscreen computer voting equipment. Most states have converted from real ballot boxes to these virtual systems provided by outfits like Diebold. Instead of physically marking your ballots, now you touch the screen to make your choices and, supposedly, the touchscreen technology magically transfers your vote into cyberspace. But what about real space? Growing numbers of Americans are alarmed by evidence that these computerized systems can be easily manipulated to steal our votes. Various organizations of computer professionals have called for stringent new reforms to protect our precious right of voting from the thieves who would loot our votes from these untraceable cyber boxes. Public concern has been heightened by revelations that the biggest providers of digital voting technology are strong partisans and major backers of the Republican Party. At the top of this list is Odell. He's had security concerns raised about his voting computers, even as he has been soliciting big donations for the election of George W. In August, Wally jetted down to Bush's ranchette in Crawford, Texas, for a presidential powwow with GOP fundraisers who have committed to raising big bucks for Bush's campaign. The very next week, Odell sent out letters asking for $10,000 donations for the Republican Party. And only one day later, the Republican Secretary of State in Ohio blessed Wally's company with official authorization to provide electronic voting machines in Ohio. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn how you can help to stop electronic voting fraud, go to www.verifiedvoting.org.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, we're coming to your phone calls real quick here, but an email from... actually, two of them. First one is from David. And he points out something that I think most of us probably are aware of on some level. David writes... Well, more people voted in the American Idol contest than voted in the last presidential election. I must be on some kind of involuntary mind trip or something. Lacey Peterson, Kobe Bryant, tiger attacks, shark attacks, everything is upside down, dumber is smarter, clean is dirty, anti-constitution is
Patriot Act,
rush on drugs. I hate to even think about what we're in for next year with an election coming up. I'm really scared of what they're doing or what they're going to pull to raise their poll numbers. Shrub actually said, quote, Iraq operation was bloodless, end quote. The filterless reporter did not even follow up this statement. And Helen Thomas can't even get into a briefing anymore. Mike, please give me some advice on how to get a writing gig. There's got to be a method to marketing. Thanks, David. Well, back when I used to fancy myself a writer, I used to ask real writers, hey, what do I do to be a writer? And they said, write. This is from Dave in Johnstown, PA, as opposed to David, who is apparently from nowhere. We didn't put his town on. But Dave in Johnstown, PA. Hi, Mike. If there is a new draft, the first thing that should go is a deferment for college students. During the Vietnam War, This was the deferment that kept the vast majority of middle and upper middle class men out of the service. It would be especially nice to see the Ivy League emptied. Okay. Generally, it is the alumni and faculty members of these institutions who are the cause of the wars that the working class has to go out and fight. I'm sure that many of today's conservative students would gladly jump out of their classrooms and sign right up. Students who are currently in school should only be able to finish the current semester, then off they go. When I was a personnel assistant for the government, I noticed that almost every man who was around the age of Vietnam veterans who had a college degree was not a veteran. On the other hand, those who were Vietnam vets, for the most part, were not college graduates. In all honesty, I should say that I, too, got a student deferment while going to art school. When I graduated, I received a 1A classification. However, because of the low vision that I've had since birth, I was classified 4F, making me ineligible for service. I know that as a working-class person, I would have had the draft board waiting for me right off the high school graduation stage in 1966 if I didn't have a disability, especially since I lived in Fairfield County, Connecticut, and would have had to stand in for one of my wealthy classmates who was off to Old Ivy. Dave, Johnstown, PA. Thanks, Dave. Dan is calling from Adrian, Michigan. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Mike, I've written this classic poem about Rush Limbaugh, and with your permission, I'd be honored to read it on your show.
It's not like epic like Beowulf or something, is it?
It's not that long either.
Okay, good. Okay.
All right, you'll enjoy it. Can I read it?
Yeah, no cuss words?
No cuss words.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
All right. Rush said all dopers should be locked up in jail. Hell, throw away the key and deny them all bail. When he lorded over others, he'd sure flex his moxie. But when his life got painful, he'd pop him an oxy. Life got monotonous being a Republican shill, so he'd send out poor Wilma to score him some pills. He showed little empathy for Democrats with vices, so most of them rejoiced when Rush had this crisis. Get me more blues, he'd email from his studio throne. Did his listeners not wonder why his speech slurred and droned? One had to ponder why he suddenly couldn't hear. Did all of those downers shatter his inner ears? His ditto sheep quaked and trembled as their illusions were crushed, though they'd never admit it, he was their Rush. Kitty Dukakis, Daryl Strawberry, and Kurt Cobain, he really loved basking in all of their pain. Suddenly right-wingers called for treatment and understanding. When it came to Rush Limbaugh, jail they weren't demanding. His buddy, Mr. Newt, took women for vice. That whore William Bennett let Vegas entice. Had Hillary Clinton proclaimed addiction to drugs, why, she would be bitch-slapped by Rush and those thugs. Lying hypocrisy, that's what it is. His morality and virtue was simply showbiz. The end.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Anyway, I just want to tell you, I heard Hannity the other night, Rush's brother, who's always trying to ride Rush's jockstrap, David Limbaugh.
Yeah, he's in trouble for something, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, but he was on the show plugging his latest book,
yeah,
which I'm sure got published only because of his relationship to Rush. But yeah. Anyway, some woman calls him up and says, oh, David, I just want to let you know I'm praying for your brother. Your brother, you need to know, David, he's a wonderful man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what do you expect, right? On Hannity's program with David Limbaugh, the only people who are going to get put on the program are probably going to be people who say, I love Rush and I love you because you're his brother. Oh, God.
But, you know, it's I can think of a lot of things you could call Rush, a great orator or something like that, but a wonderful guy. I mean, my God.
I know.
Anyway, what I wanted to tell you about is that is that someone said, my poems I put on my website, and I just got an email today that said that I should get on my knees and thank the God in heaven that George W. Bush is my president.
Oh, yeah? What's your website? What's your website?
Well, it's real long because it's on a free site. I don't want to take up all your time reading it off.
But, thank you.
But look it up on the title of this poem is Rush Limbaugh is a Felon, and it's on Yahoo.
Rush Limbaugh is a Felon, and it's at Yahoo.
Yeah.
Dan,
all right.
Thanks for sharing.
Anytime.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Speaking of Limbaugh, I got this email from Doug Mann in Hawaii. Mike, I sent you an email about a week or so back contrasting the conservative compassion for Rush with the imprisonment of Tommy Chong. Like you, I've been pretty gleeful that he has been exposed for the hypocrite he is, but as a Christian, I've been struggling to find some context for that glee, lest I join Rush in his cesspool of hate and anger. Forgiveness is an act which is primarily for the one doing the forgiving. Clearly, Rush evokes an emotional response in the people who listen to him. As a liberal, he has certainly provoked my anger on any number of occasions, but I think this can be an occasion to see him for the truly pathetic shell of a man he is. I hope for his sake this will be a lesson in humility and humanity. I hope for my sake and yours that we can relinquish the power Rush has over our thoughts and feelings through forgiveness. Having made the plea for forgiveness is not to suggest we don't name hypocrisy and hate and bigotry when we hear it. We need to call these things what they are and fight against them. Keep the edge, keep the attitude, and fight the good and just fight. P.S. I think some of your listeners might enjoy reading Matthew chapter 7, especially verses 1 through 5, with verse 5 being one of my all-time favorites. Quote, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Thanks for writing, Doug Mann, all the way from Hawaii. The article in Newsweek, if you have read it, the cover story about Limbaugh, did you see Time Magazine? This issue of Time Magazine, they have three or four sentences in the milestone section about Limbaugh. But Newsweek cover story written, Jerry Adler was one of the writers that covered this. And there's a quote in Newsweek, and here it is. "The problem with painkillers is they also work on existential pain, the kind that originates in the mind, such as might be experienced by a right-wing radio host who doesn't have Bill Clinton to torture anymore." I up. I think one of the favorite quotes from the Pigman's program was some time ago when he was demanding long prison terms for drug criminals, his term. Users as well as sellers. I've said before, I take a real libertarian point of view on drugs. I do, understanding fully that they can kill you and make you feel real good before they kill you, but they can kill you if they're misused. I differentiate between drug use and drug abuse. There is a difference. But I do take kind of a libertarian point of view, not kind of, a libertarian point of view. I don't believe in drug laws. I believe anyone who entices a child for, to deliberately and specifically hook the child on a drug, like the tobacco companies, that they should be, I don't believe in the death penalty. What's after? Have all their arms and legs broken or taken off. I don't like people who hook children. But as far as adults are concerned, I think the use of drugs will clear the gene pool every once in a while, because people who are too stupid to use drugs in a way that is either recreational or spiritual or whatever, are going to become addicted. They are going to cause destruction, emotional destruction around them. Eventually, they're going to die. And that means that they're not going to reproduce any further than they might already have. This is just like the people who say that helmet laws, requirement to wear a helmet on a motorcycle, is infringing on somebody's freedom. I could never understand those people. I just can't. Every time a state rescinds their helmet requirement law, the death rate of motorcycle riders goes up by 40, 50, 60%. Now, to me, that's a good thing. I'm sorry, it just is. Anybody who gets on a motorcycle without a helmet on deserves to die if the occasion presents itself. I'm sorry, call me a cynical bastard, and I'll accept that. But, I people who misuse drugs deserve whatever consequences come their way. I'm not talking about the law. I'm talking about the toxic effects. Hell, too many mashed potatoes will kill you. We all know that. But Limbaugh, demanding long prison terms for drug users as well as sellers, he said, quote, "We have laws against selling drugs, pushing drugs, using drugs, importing drugs, and the laws are good because we know what happens to people in societies and neighborhoods which become consumed by them. And so if people are violating the law by doing drugs, they ought to be accused and they ought to be convicted, they ought to be sent up. The answer is to go out and find the ones who are getting away with it, convict them, and then send them up the river, too. Well, Rush, that would be you, wouldn't it? But because you're a multi-millionaire, you know, the laws that the rest of us, the laws of the universe that the rest of us have to live by because we have no choice, don't apply to you. You are, you're special. You're also a moron. Stay with us. Right back in a second.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say, wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is my
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange.
Yeah. Okay.
When you're strange.
24 past the hour. Scott is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mike, kudos for you for the way you handled good old Joe from Kentucky. I hope he's still listening, but at least you gave him better than what he would get from the contrary side, if, listening to insanity at all.
Well, yeah, that's assuming, though. You and I are making an assumption here that that was a legitimate call. Supposing.
Well, yeah, I know. You have a hard time reading something like that. But
yeah.
You gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, although he did, he sounded like he was pretty committed. But how can, let's assume that that was a legitimate call. How can somebody who is an educated professional, unemployed, and 5 years former military be that out of the loop or ignorant? And
well, I'll tell you, you know, and nothing you don't already know, I'd figure that, you know, there are a lot of people, if they don't have a tradition that they're grounded in of, you know, some kind of critical thought, whether they read, whether they, you know, get a broad spectrum of information somehow, then they're typically subject to a lot of this stuff because there's so much bombardment from the other side, and you know that perfectly well.
Yeah, that's true. When I used to listen to Limbaugh's program and hear people call in, very sincere sounding, very well-spoken, could certainly put together coherent sentences, no garbled syntax, everything spoke in nice, neat five-sentence paragraphs. And I used to and yet just wacky, just totally crazy.
Their
logic is non-existent, or it's the inverse of logic. What would that be? Kilal or something. Whatever logic
well,
is backwards.
Well, you know, I'm lucky enough at the moment. I work at home, so I can pick and choose. I can make my own schedule. Mm-hmm. I make it a point to listen to you, Tom Hartman, Tony Truppiano when he's on. By the way, tomorrow, make it a point. Anybody, Eastern time, I think it's 5 to 7 p.m., he's going to have an exclusive on his show, very damaging to Bush. This is something that people would want to have a heads up on. But, you know, Amy Goodman and to read people like Zinn, Michael Moore, whom Amy interviewed today, you know, the list goes on, but just boom, 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 boom. You can make a few points and give people at least some homework.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But you do such a fabulous job. You know, you were gentle with this guy. You gave him the benefit of the doubt, and so kudos to you, and I'll let it go.
All right. Well, thanks, Scott.
All right.
Thanks for checking in, pal. Appreciate it. I want to get to this, but Lorraine has been holding on for a long time. She's calling from Dallas. Hey, Lorraine.
I just want to tell you, Joe is real. I live with them in Dallas, and there is nothing. You know, I today was my very worst day, Mike.
Uh-oh.
I belong to an art class with women my age, and we're elderly women. I cannot speak there at all because they love Bush. They revere him. They revere him.
Did they ever tell you why?
I can't ask because I asked one question, and I'm from Arlington Heights, Illinois. I just moved here a year ago, so I'm a little trepidatious about, you know, imposing my views on these women who are churchgoers. They're so Christian. They love Schwarzenegger.
Hey, Lorraine, hold on a second, will you? Let me do a commercial here or two, and I'll come back, and we'll pick it up here. Everybody else, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Bush for all the things he's done to make this country safe. We are number one. We don't kick the ass of those who don't agree. And if they don't like it, they can talk to me. America rules. Well, screw all you fools. What the hell in the world are we supposed to do? Just sit on our ass and we shit in our face. We're gonna hang the U.S. flag all over the place. The state of the union is strong. And if you're not on our side, you're weak. This administration can't do no wrong. Jump on board the super patriot American freak. Jump on board the super patriot American freak. Jump on board the super patriot American.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The use of hydrogen for fuel might have some environmental surprises. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Fuel cells that run on hydrogen might be a great source of energy. The only exhaust from these fuel cells would be water, and their use in cars could make smog a thing of the past. Tracy Tromp wanted to know what might happen if every car in the U.S. used hydrogen for fuel. Tromp is a physicist at the California Institute of Technology, and she worked with a team of researchers to study the production, storage, and transportation of hydrogen. They also looked at the impact of gas leaks along the way. Tromp says gas leaks could potentially cause problems with the Earth's protective ozone layer.
So you have to somehow produce the hydrogen, you have to transport it, you have to somehow put it in your automobile, and all along that way hydrogen can leak into the atmosphere. Hydrogen leaking into the atmosphere could cause upper atmospheric cooling, and it could cause an increase in ozone destruction.
Tromp says the hydrogen could increase water vapor in the stratosphere, and that would disrupt natural processes that create ozone molecules. The ozone layer is recovering from damage done by synthetic chemicals known as chlorofluorocarbons. These chemicals have been banned internationally. Tromp says that might make the issue of hydrogen leaks less important in the future.
50 years down the line from now, hopefully most of the chlorofluorocarbons have been removed from the stratosphere, and so the issue of an ozone hole opening up or that hydrogen would cause the ozone hole to hang around longer are diminished.
Tromp says we need to know more about how hydrogen behaves in the environment to make smart choices about the use of hydrogen for energy. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are We're talking to Lorraine, who's called in from Dallas, having moved there a year ago from Arlington Heights. Boy, that's quite a difference. Arlington
it was
Heights,
a move, yeah.
Illinois to Dallas, Texas.
I know. Well, I have my only child lives here, so I came here. But I rue the day that I'm here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Republican women are mean. Oh.
Yeah.
What is with them? You know, today, my bad day, I mentioned something about being in France and seeing beautiful artwork. Now, we're in an art class. Beautiful artwork, and I loved it. That's all I said. And they despise France. They would have nothing to do with any of Europe because what they didn't enter into this Iraq. I can't talk to them at all.
Lorraine, you need to find a new art group.
They're in Dallas, right?
Well, you know what? I'm serious here. I'm serious here. I have a suggestion. You need to get with some younger people. I don't know how old you are, but these people sound like they're dinosaurs. You need to get yourself with maybe some real art students, you know, people in their early 20s or late teens, maybe even up to the mid-20s, people whose brains have not calcified.
Well, that's true. But, you know, but Mike, I'm 78.
Oh, I did, so what?
And I don't, but I don't think like that. I have a computer. I go to DU. I go to BuzzFlash.
Okay, you're making my case, Lorraine. You got to get away from these old farts
who are poisoning
the air that you breathe.
Yes, the quality of my life has changed.
Yeah, you just got to. I strongly recommend that you get around some young people.
You're right.
You know, I'm sure there is a weekly or a couple of weekly free newspapers in Dallas. Alternative papers that will list classes or groups of artists to get together, they would probably just love you to death just for having the courage to take art lessons at 78. A lot of people see that as an act of courage, although I'm sure it's just something that you do that you want to do. But
right.
I would definitely get away from these old farts because they're going to make you crazy. They're going to suck your brains out.
Well, are they representative of what's going to happen in 204? That's what scares me.
A good percentage of the country thinks that way.
50%, right?
Well, 50%. Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that right now. It's awful. But get away from these people. These are vampires, Lorraine. They will suck your life energy right out of you.
It's true. Thanks for you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for checking in, Lorraine.
Okay.
Stay in touch.
I will. All right, bye-bye.
All right, you take care. God, I hate that. I hate that. You know, somebody who... Lorraine there, you know, they're taking art, Kathy. God, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And she's with a bunch of soul suckers who are just, you know, putting their straws in her and right through her skin and sucking out her soul. God, I hate that. You hang in there, Lorraine. You'll age is not a factor here. You'll connect with the right people. Just stay away from those zombies. I've just got to share this with you. Back to the not Limbaugh himself, but the drug thing. You know, Limbaugh cuts and runs after lying to his audience for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And I understand why he lied. He's an addict. He's a drug user, totally addicted. His brain is just oatmeal. That's what happens. Let's face it, it does. But in Florida, this was in the Orlando Sentinel the other day, a lack of drug treatment programs in that state is forcing judges to incarcerate an increasing number of inmates. While at the same time, in-prison treatment is being slashed. You see, this is another one of the Bush bastards, this one in Florida. In prison treatment slashed, people who do not deserve to go to prison are being sent to prison. It says in a state where almost a third of those entering Florida prisons last year had been convicted of drug offenses, nonviolent drug offenses, the Department of Corrections has significantly reduced state programs to help those who are released and cut in-prison treatments in 42 of Florida's 55 prisons. Corrections officials blame the state legislature for the cuts, which take effect November 1st and are expected to save taxpayers $13 million. Oh, we get $13 million saved. Of course, we're sending people to prison who don't belong there. There's a drug treatment center called Bridges of America. It's in several counties in Florida. There's also the Salvation Army Drug Treatment Center, Daytona Beach. A spokesman for Bridges says this is critical for us. They're going to lose $1.5 million. The cuts were very deep. Drug courts offer judges the option of sentencing some addicts, generally nonviolent offenders, to treatment rather than prison. But that's going to stop now. Thousands of the inmates, as of June 30th, there were 77,316 inmates in the state of Florida, a 5.1% increase over the previous year, according to statistics by the Corrections Department there. Thousands of those inmates are in drug treatment, which is going to end. Now get this, more inmates are admitted for drug offense than any other charge. Roughly 17,000 of Florida's 72,000 inmates were in drug treatment during the last fiscal year. Another 32,000 offenders received treatment in residential or outpatient community programs outside prison. And the money is gone. And not everybody signs 8-year, quarter-billion-dollar contracts with Premier Radio Networks so that when they get caught with their addictions, they can go to private treatment, and in some instances runs as much as $1,000 a day. Spokeswoman for Bridges says these guys are going to go in to prison, get no treatment, come out, go right back to it. And the chief judge of the Ninth Judicial Circuit in Florida said drug treatment costs less than incarceration. Well, duh! An ounce of prevention is always worth 6 tons of cure. The judge says one of the linchpins to success with drug offenders is treatment. If you send someone to prison and you don't offer them any treatment, when they get out, the potential for them reoffending is very high. Yeah, take a look at Limbaugh. By his own admission, as much of a liar and deceiver and demon that he is, even he admits to two attempts, both failures. But somebody like Limbaugh, I'm sorry, I'm not at a higher spiritual level. Somebody like Limbaugh, with his attitude, his mindset, his money, will never, let me repeat that, will never succeed in getting off these drugs. That's a real pessimistic point of view on my part. But there's no motivation. What the hell is his motivation? His only motivation for going to treatment this time was to avoid the long arm of the law that was closing in on his worthless ass. There is no motivation for Rush Limbaugh to go to treatment. You know why? Because in his mind, he will never hit that proverbial bottom that a person has to hit when drugs are destroying them. You've got to go to the bottom. You've got to go to the sub-basement. And you keep going down, down, down till you reach hell. And then you might consider a serious effort at treatment. I mean a serious effort. Now, people have different levels of different interpretations of hell. For some people, it's losing a spouse, losing their family, losing a job, losing a career, losing their house, their car, their bank account, their stock portfolio, all of those sort of things. Other people, that's just a step along the way. Doesn't mean a thing. Hitting the bottom is when they wake up in a pile of their own excrement and vomit someplace and realize they don't have $10 to go buy a rock. And so they're screwed. Limbaugh has no motivation. None. That I can see. But shouldn't we finally come to some realization that drug abuse is primarily a public health problem, not a law enforcement problem? That this lock them up, throw away the key approach causes more harm than good? Shouldn't we come to the realization that this phony-ass war on drugs targets those who don't fall into the same category as the pig man, as Limbaugh? Shouldn't we be real here? Who goes to prison? People of color go to prison. not pasty-ass fat white boys like Rush Limbaugh, who can afford thousands, tens of thousands of OxyContins. They don't go to prison. They don't go to jail. Three-fourths of all convicted drug offenders are people of color, according to the Sentencing Project, which is a ratio vastly disproportionate to their share of drug users in society. Jeez. Will Limbaugh's public humiliation do anything for drug laws in this country? No, because his ditto head brain dead followers, they see this as something the Clinton caused, or because Rush was taking it for pain. Oh, get over that lie. Rush was taking it to get high. Rush was taking it because when you take enough of that stuff, it makes you all bubbly. And your useless, worthless life, Rush, all of a sudden glows and shimmers and shines. And you can bounce from moment to moment. And you can think wonderful thoughts and come up with great creative sentences. That's why you do drugs. That's why you get high. Pain, my ass. Life is pain. But his brain-dead ditto heads will go, Rushka, well, it was his doctor. It was his pharmacist. And then when he couldn't get any more, he had to go to the street. He didn't go to the street. He went to his housekeeper. At least he kept it in the family. He wasn't like one of these Negroes that goes out here and sells it on the street or buys it on the street corner from some Puerto Rican. Rush is a good white man, and good white men buy their drugs from their housekeepers. Pray for him. Poor Rush. And somehow Clinton's involved in this. I know he is. I'll bet you that Wilma Klein is really Hillary in disguise. What do you want to bet, huh? But Rush will be back. I love Rush. I don't know what to do. I can't think. I can't go to the toilet. I can't do anything with Rush in rehab. Nothing. I'm all stove up inside. I don't know what to do. I can't think. I can't move my bowels. I can't blow my nose. Rush, come back. Please. Oh, my God. I'm going to explode. My producer's getting ready to pull the plug on the program again. I'm sorry. That's what they sound like, Kathy. All right. Enough of this nonsense. John is calling from Riverside, California. Also a new caller. Also from Democratic Underground. Wow. I'm just lucky tonight.
What do you expect from the top 10 conservative idiots? I mean, you get quality people from there.
There you go. Hey, have you got me on a speakerphone?
No, but I got you on my hands-free from my cell phone.
Okay, go ahead. What the hell?
After that rant, I got to wonder if you've got the same condition as me of not having the lobotomy ever taken.
Right. Well, possibly.
But you're right about Rush. However, I think he and Noel Bush would make great cellmates.
I wonder if Noel's going to make it this time. I haven't heard anything about it. And I'll tell you something else. Another couple of incipient addicts who have disappeared from the race. They have disappeared. They have gone to Tralfamador. And that's the Bush twins.
I was just going to say it had to be them.
They disappeared.
When they bring back the draft, I want those two drafted first.
No. Pickles Bush had them both killed and their bodies buried at the ranch because they were causing her husband too much embarrassment. They're gone.
I was going to say you don't think Sodom and Osama are being crowded out by them?
No, they have disappeared. I swear to God, their mother had them murdered, or their grandmother did. I think Barbara Bush said, "All right, it's enough of that. I want those two little bitches killed." I'm sure that's what happened. They have disappeared. They're gone. Have you heard anything from the tabloid press or E or anywhere anything about the Bush twins? Well, I'll answer that for you. No. Because they're dead. Barbara had them murdered. Maybe.
Well, you never know. They're pretty evil. So.
Right. So Bush was in your state today. He's getting ready to step off the end of the American continent and go over there to Asia. And I have a bad feeling about this, John. I have to tell you, you know, he's going to spend like 7 hours in the Philippines and 28 minutes in of Malaysia and a few minutes in Singapore. But I have a bad feeling about this. Were you listening the other night, or have you heard about they're using, what are they using, Kathy, mice to test his taste his food? All of these guys meeting for this conference, they're having these big, fat Malaysian rats narf on their food. And if the rats don't, you know, keel over and start twitching, they're going to go ahead then and feed Bush and the rest of these thugs.
Well, you know, you got to figure, you know, the same kind of poison is going to kill, you know, kill both of them. You know, let's hope they survive.
Well,
if you know what I mean.
Sure, absolutely. I know what you mean. Well, thanks for checking in, John.
Yeah, you know, you and I are like-minded. My my family heard you ranting over the internet and everything, and they said, "Is that your brother, or is that your identical twin?"
Well, I hope
you and I are birds of a feather, my friend.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you call in again, John.
I sure will.
All right, sir. Take care. I think John wants to have my baby too. I'm just kidding. I love Democratic Underground callers and people who are not Democratic Underground, too, like David from Talladega, Alabama. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing, pal. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Oh, on the note of drugs, I found a good website that deals with a big topic that will probably be in the news tomorrow.
Yeah?
It was on Google.com.
Yeah.
Cyanide and the Pope. It's a big website. Thing about how he was a cyanide salesman in the 40s and was a war criminal and worked his way to the top.
Yeah, send me a link on that one, David. I'd like to check that one out. We got a break here, pal. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're using that fake ID. Tell me why you can't resist a party. Tell me what you'll become acting that way.
I don't know. President someday?
I've got no experience running this land from running a baseball club, yeah.
That's okay, son. I will lend you a hand.
I'm not a...
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a trickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817 for Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
That one person can make a difference in somebody's life. Find the children of those who are incarcerated and love them.
Find the children of those who are incarcerated and love them. Jesus, how did this happen to us? How did this happen? So the Cubs lost, huh, Kathy? Well, to Cubs fans out there who have waited for three generations, my deepest sympathy. I was certainly pulling for the Cubs myself, even though I don't pay that much attention to professional sports anymore, blah, blah, blah. But I know Cubs fans in Chicago, they are a unique breed, aren't they, Kathy? You know, Cubs are on the north side, White Sox on the south side. And you and I spent quite a few interesting afternoons at Wrigley Field. Especially the games that were snowed out right in May in Chicago, early May. We went to Wrigley Field one time to see the Cubs play the Braves. They had to call it because of a blizzard in the third inning. Jeez. Kathy and I had been in Chicago for about 7 weeks. We're just like, oh, no. Oh, no. But to the Cubs fans out there, honest to God, I'm so sorry. This is deep. This is a wound that is going to take a long time to heal. Stay away from the painkillers while you're healing. There's always next season. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. There's always the season after the next 40 or 50 that, you might have another shot at it. But I'm really concerned. Can we get in touch with Marianne, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief? I'm real concerned that she might be at risk tonight. We need to get somebody in Aurora, Illinois to perform an immediate intervention where it concerns Marianne, just to make sure she's okay. You know, go to her house or apartment. Oh, well. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Balicki and produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Day. Robin Bittman announces for us. Big thank you to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, who designs and provides this website, MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. And our militant moderators there who keep things rolling. Also, Jim in Arkansas, our Music Bureau Chief. Who else should I thank? Everybody that called in, especially the new callers, we do appreciate it. To the guy who lives in Philcan, Kentucky. Bill in Kentucky, by the way, we understand not everybody's like that. I'll see you all tomorrow night. I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction.